July 7, 2021, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro show. Happy Wednesday. Miracles. Midvoke. Yeah, it's either the middle of the week or fucking tribute to the god Mercury. John Coltrane started off the show with Bessie's Blues. And then Julia Reedy, people. You heard it here. Don't go by while you read. Because you know English language, right? You got to hear somebody else say it first. There's no, consistency. Of neither. Yeah, it's something like that, like the title of that tune. And you can hear that I'm not man alone because of the wonders of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. I got Julia Reedy here. Welcome aboard, Julia.
Hey, thanks.
Well, how's summer in Berlin?
How's summer in Berlin? Yeah, it's good. It's great. It beats winter.
Yeah, I know. There can be about 9 months of gray sometimes, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but it's a great town. There are a lot of great cats. And, in fact, who'd I just talk to? Another, we got to give credit to Fidel Andrea Belfie for making the connect. Aiden Baker, Canadian.
All right, nice.
Well, what do you say? I say expat because I don't like that other pronunciation. So, your journey through music, I'm curious about. So try to bring us your earliest musical recollection.
Ooh, listening to music, do you mean? Or
like I was an interrogator, right? And I had you there. What is the first musical connect in your mind that you can remember? It could be anything, right? Just something to do with music.
Yeah. I remember, well, it seems like a bit of a cliche, but I remember being very fascinated by the Beatles as a kid, and mostly a lot of the pop music that my dad used to listen to.
Was it the ABC?
He had a kind of, he would make these little mixtapes and we'd play them in the car.
Okay, so he was kind of his own DJ.
Yeah, exactly. My dad was a DJ.
I was very
obsessed with listening to things on repeat and learning all the lyrics and
looping it, right? Well,
trying to understand how the songs work and all that kind of thing.
With us, the mixtape, the cassettes that you traded with your friends was really important because it could turn you on to shit you never heard because, you know, especially when the movement came, a lot of that stuff wasn't on the radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
I had, there was a piano at home, which I think I was less interested in than my brother's guitar. So I think I was always, I was always sort of into the idea of becoming a guitar player. But that didn't happen probably until quite a lot later.
Now he's older brother?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of experimental musicians, I find out, have older brothers and sisters. usually, sometimes it's the instrument, but also the record collections have big effect on people. I've had on the show, since November, I've had 5 guests a week, so a lot of guests.
Oh, wow.
It's bitching. It's a community. It's interesting. Especially coming from a scene that, so underground for so many years. So we take heart in our parallel universe. So, were you the piano lesson thing? Did you have to go through that?
I did a little bit. I think my folks, understandably, thought that having a kind of foundation in piano was a good idea. I can't really remember much of my early musical education because it didn't really last for so long. I think I got distracted by other things. I started playing seriously, being kind of serious about music when I was maybe 15 or 16. And
well, let me ask before that, when you were in grade school and shit, were you in the choir or the marching band or stuff at school?
Yeah, I was in a choir. It wasn't through school, but I guess your version of elementary school, around that age I was
doing.
Well,
some of our schools, they cut the music programs. That's why I always ask that question.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what about the first record you bought with your own money?
That was Green Day, American Idiot.
Okay. And the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig I went and saw was Avril Lavigne when I was 10 years old.
And what town did you grow up?
I was born in 93, so
T-O-W-N.
Maybe that makes a bit more sense.
No, T-O-W-N.
What was that?
T-O-W-N.
T-O-W-N. What?
Town. City. Village.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said time. Which town? I grew up in Sydney.
Okay, the big town.
Yep.
Okay. But the music town's Melbourne, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I just said that because birthday.
That's what everyone says.
I just say that because birthday parties from there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I also know Australia loves Stooges, you know, so special place in my heart.
Absolutely.
Right. And in fact, there's a club in Melbourne, right? One of the, what were they called? They were Psychobilly. They named the alley where his club is.
All right.
Yeah. And, what about the thing, not after school, I graduate, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the basement man, the garage band. I mean, because eventually you do get on the guitar. The first guitar you play is your brother's.
Yeah, it was. And, yeah, like I said, growing up, that was always kind of in the background. But
so when did you get your first guitar?
I think I got my first guitar when I was maybe 15 or 16, and it was a piece of shit from a kind of pawn shop that, yeah, that my dad bought me.
Acoustic?
So that was a pretty exciting moment. No, it was electric. It was
electric.
Kind of,
okay, okay. So you must have got an amp, too?
I think that I didn't have an amp for a little while because I wasn't actually, I didn't realize that you needed to do that. But that came quickly afterwards.
Kind of quiet.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mind
so when you it. When you found out about amps and shit,
yeah.
Did you make band with your friends?
Totally. Yeah, that was a big part of my life. And that was my main sort of, yeah, creative.
Tell me about the first band you made.
Oh, fuck, what were we called? I think we were called Leashed Creature. And I sang and played guitar. And,
leaf Creature.
No, leashed, as in like a dog on a leash.
Like a leash, right? That's my nickname for a smartphone or cell phone.
A leash.
Yeah.
You're a leashed creature.
Yeah, you just learned some Pedro slang. Okay.
Nice.
I kind of specialized because I think I'm the only one in Pedro that says it. But okay. Leash creature. Yeah, a lot of people are glued to their fucking leashes. I'm not talking about kids. I just read an article about members of the European Parliament, and like some motherfuckers, 80% of the meetings are watching their leash.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Not to get on a tangent. Was this band doing what kind of material, original or copy and records?
Originals, but I was very into writing songs from the minute I was, playing.
Yeah? Can you remember the first song you wrote?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not going to sing it, though.
No, but what was it called?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I had a whole bunch of songs.
Yeah, what was it called? I'll tell you the first song I wrote.
Okay, let me try and remember what it was called. Oh, God, no, I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember
it's
how it
goes. It's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. And there's and there's no wrong answers. But the first song I wrote was Mr. Bass, King of Outer Space. And
see?
Basically, it was about playing a bass solo on stage and blowing the rest of your band off. So, yeah, obviously I had issues. I want to play Clairvoyant here.
Different.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro show start off that chunk, people. Clairvoyant, Julia Reedy, and Parallel Systems, System 19 of the Rabutan Project. This one's got Michael Kiefer, Mike Griffin, Mike Barrett, and Eric Hardiman. Finally, anathema briefa, Bombus Brandon. Okay, so did Leash Creatures ever do a gig?
Yeah, we played at our school kind of fete thing, like a, you know, one of those days where everyone comes to the school to just walk around and buy shit and have a nice day.
I don't know if we got those over here.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a translation in Europe or America, if that's just a thing that happens. But we have these things every year, and people would just kind of walk around in the
school ground. You call it a fete? Like the French word for fair or something?
Oh, yeah, is that what it means?
Yeah, because I've seen it in French. I've seen it festivals name this and stuff. A fete? Fete?
Yeah, there you go. That's
okay,
what we did.
Okay, okay. Yeah, we had shit like Battles of the Band, a talent contest or shit. I don't know. Anyway, how'd that gig go?
It was great. I remember being quite shocked at how different it felt to play on a stage as opposed to in our little band practice room. And, something that I still experience, gotta say.
Now, after graduating high school, did you go on to higher education for music?
Yeah, so I think in my last couple of years of high school, when I was 17 or 18, I got pretty determined about studying music after I finished, because I think up until that age, I didn't really realize that was something that you could do. I was clear that I was not going to do anything within the kind of classical music world, but I thought that I could try and learn jazz and get into a jazz conservatorium, which seemed like a totally crazy idea, but I got in for some reason.
Why do you think it's crazy?
Why did I think it was crazy to study?
No. It was a crazy idea to try to get into a jazz.
I didn't have such a strong foundation in sort of like playing the instrument, and I think I was at that point like surrounded by quite a lot of people that were really good at playing that kind of language. So I was always a little bit doubtful of whether it would work out. But I went and did that for a couple of years, and so I was in like a jazz performance degree at a conservatorium, and I got a lot out of it. I got to learn about sort of improvisation, and had never really dealt with that as a concept before, and it was a very, very valuable experience. I think I also very quickly I kind of went through a phase of wanting to be really great at that, and sort of my priorities were to become a great instrumentalist and to be versatile and be able to play anything I wanted. And then I sort of had a little bit of a crisis because I felt like in a way that I was never really going to get there, which maybe in hindsight was a little bit, I was maybe being a little bit too hard on myself, but I think I just sort of switched quite quickly into a different mode where I was, or rather like returned to wanting to just play my own thing, and I was less interested in sort of like, learning the jazz tradition and more interested in just producing my own music. So I dropped out after a couple of years and moved over to Berlin.
This school was in Australia.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the same time, you probably were learning theory and stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, that was all pretty new to me. I'd never learn how to read music properly, really. And
but so, what I want to ask you is, at the same time, were you still doing? Well, probably by this time, Leash Creatures was gone. But were you still, were you still playing in bands? What I'm saying, asking.
Yeah, I was. I think a lot of the people that I grew up with when we were teenagers and stuff, I sort of we all went quite separate ways. I maybe went through a bit of a phase where I was like, I want to take music more seriously, and that meant sort of like that my taste changed quite a lot. I was really obsessed with listening to jazz for a little while, and maybe wasn't listening to a lot of the stuff that I was listening to before, and was less interested in playing in bands and more interested in sort of like.
Yeah, but I hear that jazz people play in ensembles too.
Yeah, I know. I kind of wish that I'd been a bit more. I think as a younger person, and still probably now, I was a little bit sort of like. Of an extremist when it came to what I was focused on. It's like, if I'm doing this, then I can't do that, and if I'm doing that, then I have to cut this off. And so, I mean, yeah, I stopped playing in bands for a while and was much more focused on.
Well, let me ask you this then: what about recording yourself? Were you doing that shit yet?
Yeah, I think I was doing that from really early, kind of the whole time. I think
Leash Creatures days.
Sure, yeah, sure.
Okay, like a 4-track cassette? Or maybe pewter, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, just with the computer, actually. Yeah. But for bands, sure, but I think mostly I was interested in just recording myself as a soloist. And I remember having like a revelation when I got this Line 6 DL4 pedal, this like green thing, if that's what it's called. It's this looping delay pedal. And at some point I bought that and I realized that I could sort of make layers and sort of make my own whole sound world by myself. And that was like that was an exciting kind of idea.
Revelation?
Pretty much, yeah.
No, but the woman alone thing, you know, most people when they paint or they write, they do it alone, you know, and not everything's ensemble.
Yeah.
Right. And then also, it could be a mix. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Totally.
But that's why I'm curious and I ask these questions, because I found that people all have their own path to how they got to where they are now.
Yeah.
So that kind of, in a way, it's supposed to kind of inspire people to think there is only a limited amount of ways to do it.
Mm.
All the guests I've had on the show for 20 years have all found their own ways. And not all of it very predictable. Some of it just tangents and coincidences that lead to very profound moments.
Yeah.
So that's why I kind of ask these kind of things.
Yeah.
Can you still remember that first song? No. Okay. So you drop out of school and then you want to move to Berlin. Now, did you look at a map and just throw a dart?
I mean, in hindsight, it kind of feels like that's what happened. Somehow I figured that it would be a cool place to go. But I think at the time that I was interested in doing that, I was by that point kind of friends with a lot of people in the experimental music scene in Sydney, and a lot of people that I knew in that scene had moved to Berlin at some point or had visited there. And
can I ask if you know Lucas Sabel?
Yeah, I do. Not personally. He wouldn't know who I am, but yeah, I know who you mean.
Man, he was a guest, you know, a couple months ago, and
yeah,
I love his music. That's
he's a fucking maniac.
And I think he started as a radio DJ, he was telling me.
Yeah, really? Okay, I didn't
know that. That's why I'm saying all the paths are different, you know what I mean? And, totally. And maybe that's a healthy thing. But, I mean, man, I love his music. I play it on the show, but I didn't have time because you got big pieces here. But I've been playing a lot of his stuff, and he's prolific, and he's just in love with music.
Yeah.
So that was the gateway drug, huh? Experimental music scene in Sydney turned you on to what was happening in Berlin.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, I got to stop you because we're at the end of the first hour, July 7, 2021 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Julia Reedy. Hold tight for hour two. July 7, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt Pedro Show.
Thank you. to anything. Be free with your recovery. Take it one day at a time. A job for the hour between 4 and 5 a.m. A diagram for the sand dust. A revolution leaves heads spinning. Incalculable loss, constant, ceaseless, certain of that you can be. I'm losing you, you're losing me. After all, you can't take it with you. So why hold on to anything?
Walk for Pedro show started off the second hour with Summer Course, and that's by Julia Reedy and John Rose. Then Ben Salter from Tasmania. Loss. And then a prodigy gave me called Spoiler. And the shortest tune we're playing by you today called Spoiler. Tell me about Spoiler.
Yeah, that's the closest thing I have at the moment to a rock band, I guess.
So it's an ensemble.
Yeah, that's a band.
And it's a Berlin band?
It is. It's got...
Can I ask you this? Is there Germans in the band, or is it all Auslanders?
We're all Auslanders.
Yeah, you know, I've noticed this. And there's nothing wrong with it, believe me. There's nothing wrong with it, okay?
I'm way into it.
You know, where you're born to me is a total coincidence and accident. But I have noticed this. Berlin's got so many artist people, but it seems like, yeah, the Auslanders like playing with the Auslanders.
Yeah. Gotta keep each other company or something.
Now, how'd this band come together?
It started with the synthesizer player, who's called Liz Kosak. She's American. She's from Maine. We played duo for maybe a few months. We got a gig and decided to ask Sam Hall, who's the drummer, to play trio with us. And then we played a gig that was sort of mostly improvised, but maybe with some things that we'd nailed down. And then our friends, there was, yeah, a few people in the audience, and one of them was Brad Henkel, who's the trumpet player now. And
because he dug the gig and asked to join?
He dug it, and then
okay.
I think...
I mean, what better, instead of, like, you know, foisting a big burden, right? Like, hey, O-word, opportunity, not B-word. Now, Spoiler, did this band come apart right when you came to Berlin?
No, I think we formed in 2017, which is 3 years after.
Okay. What happened when you first came to Berlin?
I found a place to live that was very cheap, at least compared to what I was used to in Sydney. And I was really lucky. It was also very proactive, I guess, but I started going to lots of shows and found it really easy to meet people to play with. And certainly wasn't making very much money to start with, but was playing gigs all over town within a month or two. I moved to a kind of like squat-ish situation in that year, and so was really like paying next to nothing to, I was living somewhere very, very cheap and was sort of able to sustain myself from just playing quite quickly, which seems crazy even now. That was in 2014. Seems like a different time.
A special switch, right? Susama and the countries come together, East being really econo before that. But still, for a big town in Europe, Berlin is probably more econo. Who's John Rose?
John Rose is a great improviser who is Australian, lives in Australia, British Australian, and he's older and has a lot of experience and has played with very many great people and is based in, or at least used to be based in Australia. Not in Sydney, but a little bit out of Sydney. And he, I met him at one of these experimental music festivals and approached him to see if I could play with him. And
so this piece here was done by trading files over the internet?
No, we made that CD at his place just one summer when I was back. And yeah, he has a tendency to sort of play with kind of new young improvisers, of which I was one of. So
that's a great thing. We need more of that, right? Like mentor
really,
and you know, student kind of thing. Because
the
people connect is really important. I want to play this tune you gave me called Oh Boy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start in a little mini chunk. Actually, not mini, because they're full-on fucking chunks. Just not a lot of titles. Okay, now, oh boy, Julia Reedy. And then Head Boggle with, you want to hear a title, Z2 minus TT plus 4Is minus X2.
All right.
He gets those. Head Boggle, he was on the show last month. Great cat, City. And then Julia Reedy with All Is Ablaze. Remember all the fires in Australia a year or two ago? God, that was incredibly lame. Spain gets them, too, and Greece sometimes. Of course, California here, we're already starting to get our dose. It seems like yearly dose. Tell me something about your composition process. You don't start with a title, do you?
No.
Watt does. And that's why I always, that's why I always ask the question, because nobody else fucking does.
Wow.
It helps give me focus. Yeah, most people don't write on bass guitar either.
Yeah, right.
I remember giving music to somebody that was all bass guitar, and they said, well, why didn't you fucking write it on the cymbals or the kick drum? tambourine or... Yeah, some people. Nels Klein loves it because he likes the room and shit. But other people, they need more direction, guidance. But tell me about yours, Julia. Your process.
When it comes to
composing.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's different every time, I guess. But
That's valid.
Yeah. I think. Probably with the last couple or few records, it's quite record oriented. I think I'm always trying to make the next record, and I think through that process of
Well, let me ask you this about that: are your records usually collections of songs, or do they have one big? You know, because I've written three operas. Notice Watt's always relating your trip to his, but that's just a fucking way. I'm sorry. Oh, it was a question, yeah. So the records, collection of songs, or like the big concept unto themselves?
No, I don't think there's any real clear concept or, they're not songs. I guess through the process of recording, I tend to go from it just becomes clearer and clearer through just recording little chunks of material and seeing what fits around them, and I guess in the last few things I've tended towards making longer pieces, but that is also just a format thing because they've been records, so. Obviously I could make tracks, but I think the last few records have been sort of like longer pieces, like sides.
And your main composition tool, is it 12-string guitar?
Yeah, at least for harmonic stuff, I find that to be sufficient. I guess I'm interested in all of the nice things that guitars do, like... resonance and working with chord progressions and weird tunings and rhythm, but
what about this trip? I use this little portable recorder with me. Some people use their leash and shit for voice memos, and you hum little melodies or parts.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you get less younger, it's hard to remember. So if I don't do that shit, it's gone. Or do you make demos?
I do that. I do have like a whole bunch of songs that I've written that are usually starting points, or at least my starting points are usually sort of like shorter, more concrete forms. And then I guess my tendency has been recently to sort of let them evolve into longer things that are maybe more drawn out. And I'm actually trying to do that less now. I think I'm moving more towards making
shorter things. You're evolving. And that, yeah. That to me is totally natural and fucking righteous. We're at the end of the second hour, July 7th, 2021 edition. Juan Pedro's special guest, Julia Reedy. Hold tight for hour three. July 7th, 2021. It's the third hour of the Juan Pedro Show.
Thank you. Yeah, I want it, but I don't want it bad enough. And yeah, I feel bad, but I don't feel bad enough yet.
Watt from Pedro Show. Third hour started off with Julie Reedy doing Beholder. Then the Ophelias, brand new from them. I think they're Cincinnati. Bad Enough. And finally, Julie Reedy with Jafai?
Yeah, it's an acronym.
Oh, okay. For what?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Oh. Maybe your initial is the first one, maybe. I don't know.
Could be.
As far as I ellipse. Dot, dot, dot. No. Okay. So this evolution of composition and stuff. Now, you were talking about, you got the ensemble here, spoiler, but do you put yourself in situations of improvising with other people?
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah, that was definitely what I was more focused on when I first moved to Berlin, yeah, I still find myself in those kinds of contexts quite a lot.
Here's, I ask a lot of people about this way of making music, because in a way it's like composition in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who goes first?
In any given situation, or what do you mean?
Well, is it like a kind of a dilemma?
Doesn't seem to be. I mean, it. I don't know. I mean,
like when you're like for the first time, of course, with another musician or group of musicians, can you tell maybe their personalities by the way they behave in that situation? Like who's going to stick it out there first?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I certainly tend to be more tentative when I'm in a new situation or whatever, but I guess...
For example, Nels Klein, yeah. You know, I remember recording with him once. He had 36 pedals. And I said, what's your favorite one? And he goes, the volume. Because he says you got to know how to listen when you're improvising with people. What?
Yeah.
But maybe that's reflective of his personality. Because somebody at the end of the day, or hopefully in the next few minutes of the situation, is going to start it off, right?
Yeah.
And then what, in your mind, is the goal to try to build an interesting conversation?
Yeah, I suppose so. I think that...
I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just putting it out there.
No, sure. I don't play that in those kinds of situations as much anymore because I think that I've grown to be a little bit frustrated with not having a sort of an aim a lot of the time, actually. So it's tricky to, like...
By aim, you mean, like, focus?
I think, well, just a sort of musical outcome because a lot of...
Okay. Because yeah, it's risky, right? When you improvise with somebody, it's like rolling the dice.
Yeah, totally. And I think sometimes the process of doing it or the experience of doing it can be more important for the people playing it than for the audience.
No. That's trippy. You said that because one of the guys who was just on an episode or two ago was saying that. Something about being not just... Yeah, it's not just the people on the stage. You're caring about the... I'm not talking about pandering, but they did work all week to come see that gig. Yeah. So you feel a responsibility. I do, too.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the music that I, put my time and energy into and work on getting to a point that I think it's really good and feel comfortable about releasing or performing, I feel like... It's a slightly different attitude to the idea of getting in front of an audience to have a conversation or I mean not any less valid or anything but just sort of a totally different idea. Like
I'll tell you one gig I was at that was no songs, right? We're gonna jam, right? And it was just a bunch of fuckers making a lot of noise, not listening to each other, and I could see my truck across the road from the hatch. And my amp wasn't there, so I just unplugged that. I bailed.
Yeah,
the only other time I had to do that was because I pissed my pants, my Levi's. But look, I want to play this collab you did with Martin Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Julia Reedy and Morton Joe with the piece called Two. And then part two of Two, this is the Dayglow Exploding Super Infinite out of Brighton with In the Stormlight, the Spores Tell Me Something Secret. And then finally, another collab between Julia Reedy, Morton Joe, Three. What about this collab?
Yeah, that's a new thing that started only this year. So Morton's a vibraphonist and percussionist, who I met in Berlin through actually, a group that, I was in called the Splitter Orchestra, which is a big group of people, like 23 or 4. It's a bunch. And that's a group that,
kind of need a big prac pad.
What was that?
Probably need a big prac pad for 23.
We just started playing duo in the last 6 months or so, and, his instrument is modified so that he can play different tunings, non-equal temperament tunings, and my guitar can also do that, so we made a record with that idea in mind.
Yeah. And what about the process? Like, somebody came out with something, like you put out a motif, he puts out a motif, and the other one jumps on?
Kind of. I think we started just with some simple chords, and just using the sort of the pitches that we had available, because obviously if you modify a vibraphone, then he's got like a very sort of like set amount of pitches that he can use, whereas my guitar has these movable frets so that I can
like the old timey lutes.
Yeah, kind of.
Those were pieces of gut, right?
I guess we were thinking of it from a sort of tuning perspective to start with, and then we just made pieces from pitch sort of sets and chords that we liked.
First took me to a James Tenney gig, and they were all playing like, you know, flutes and brass and wood, but the tuning, it was all tiny-ass microtones, so these guys had to learn all this. It sounded like people opening and closing squeaky door hinges and shit. It was really intense. I dug it. But the training to read, do their thing from the 12th tone, you know?
Yeah,
it was really interesting. Julia, where can people find you on the internet?
Me? Find me on the internet?
Yeah, you.
Me?
Yes.
I have a website. It's just my name with a hyphen in between. So Julia.
Yeah, we should spell that JULIA-REIDY.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, that's great. And when you get some new music going and stuff, or, well, this 2 and 3, is that part of an album that's done?
Yeah, it is. That'll come out at some point.
Well, maybe you both could come on the show and talk about it or something, because I'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Thank you so much. And again, big grazie to Fratello Andrea Belfi for making the connect. And
We'll do.
I want you to keep on keeping on, please.
You too.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
I will, I promise. People, it's been the July 7th, 2021 edition of Watt from Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.